Masechet Shabbat, Daf Chet, and we're going to start at the bottom of Daf Zayin, Amud Bet, five lines from the bottom, the two dots, Gufa. This is like what we already saw before. Amar Rav Chisda, Na'at Kaneh B'Shuta Yachid. So if you put a pole or a peg of something like an inch Shuta Yachid, you drove it into the ground, V'zarak V'nachal Gabav, and you threw something and it landed on top of it. Okay, so the idea is now we assume that you threw something that from the Shtav Intra Shtayachid. Afilu gavua mea ama, even if it lands on this peg and this pole or something is even 100 amas high, it's about 50 meters high, you're still chayev from Shtayachid Shtayachid, from other way around. Sorry, why? Shtayachid ole adarakia. Like we saw before, that the airspace of Shtayachid is still Shtayachid as opposed to Shtayachid, which is only 10 tvachim high. Shtayachid goes all the way up. Right? So therefore, Yuchayev, and like Rashi says here at the bottom, Zarak v'nach, kasak lach v'shtarabim v'shtarayachid. Assuming you threw from v'shtarayachid to v'shtarabim to v'shtarayachid. Then what's like a lamer, Rav Chisda, Amar Krebi? So maybe we can say that Rav Chisda, who said this ma'amar aviyah, we had Gufa, Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda tells us this, that he holds like Rebbe. Remember a couple of daf ago, on the daf Dalad, we spoke there, about the we were speaking about whether we need a dalad al dalad for tvachim for something to be chayev or not to be chayev, to be chashun, to be chashun. We had kluta kamisha hunche damia, we spoke to Rabbi Akiva about going through the airspace, and Mr. Rabbi Akiva only needs it for akira, not for hanacha. We can only prove that he doesn't need it for akira or for hanacha, it makes for hanacha. We brought Rebbe, we're trying to prove there that we don't need dalad al dalad. So the Gemara says, maybe this Rav Chisda is like Rebbe there in Daf Dalet. Rebbe says we don't need Dalet al Dalet. Right? And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the Bright, the Tanya, Zarak v'nachal gabe ziz kol sheke and kol shehu. If you threw something and landed on a ziz, on like some sort of a peg of any size, Rebbe mechayev, Rebbe says you chayev, Rebbe says you patur. Now the assumption is, why does Rebbe say you chayev? Because of Rebbe Chisda, land yishra yachid, and therefore you are chayev. And this would be a nice support trip. So the Gemara says, what Rav Chisda is speaking about is in Ishtayachid. In Ishtayachid, the Kulama lo plige. Could Rav Chisda, no one argues with Rav Chisda in Ishtayachid. Like we said yesterday, Ishtayachid is Ishtayachid. There can be no other Rishut in Ishtayachid. So when something's in Ishtayachid, we don't care what it is. Elahacha, where was Rebbe's brightest speaking about the Ondav Dalet? Bidan Obed Ishtayachid of the Rosh Rabbi. It was about a case where a person was in Ishtayachid. And he threw onto a tree. And this tree never had, on the branch that it landed on, never had a 4x4 area. And the problem was, the tree was growing in Shtayachid. And the trunk there was a big trunk. But the branch that popped into Shtarabim was a small branch. And there the machloket was, Bazrakal Nofov, Rebbe Savar, Aminan Shari Nofov, Batri Karo, Rabbanan Savar, Aminan Shari Nofov, Batri Karo. There we said, as far as Rebbe was concerned, why are you chayef? Because the branch goes after the trunk, follows the trunk. The trunk had a dalet al dalet, was a big trunk. Therefore, even though the branch is a small branch, it grows out of this big trunk, it's like the trunk. And you are chayev not from Ishtarabim into Ishtayachid, the branch was in Ishtarabim. And the four tvachim that we're speaking about were in Ishtarabim for our purposes. And you had thrown more than four amas in Ishtarabim and landed on this branch. There was a machloket. But in our case, Rav Chisda, inside Ishtayachid, nobody disagrees that that would be the case. New case. Amar Abaya. Abaya is like a zarak kaveret. Kaveret now is like a honeycomb or like a beehive of some kind. Right? So you throw this kaveret. Now, if you can imagine the kaveret, it is, it's open on the top and closed on the bottom. It's, if you Rashi says over here, kaveret agula, and it's round. Right, you throw this kaveret l'shlamim gavur asarav en rochav asheish chayev. If it's 10 tvachim high, this kaveret, but it's not 6 tvachim wide, right? So then it's not 6 tvachim wide, you chayev. Right, if you look at Rashi, what's going on over here? Let's finish the little one. Rochava sheish, if it is 6 tvachim wide, then you patur. Because that's Abaya says. And if it's 6 tvachim wide, 10 tvachim high, you patur. If it isn't 6 tvachim, then you are chayev. And Rava says, no, even if it's not 6 tvachim wide, you are still patur. We'll see in a second what that bachlok is about. Let's look at what we're talking about. Gavu asray, says, klomar, afilu gavu asray, im ena rochava shesh, beim tzayit ha-chayev. Even if it's 10 tvachim high, but it's not 6 tvachim wide, at the widest point, you still chayev. Why? The akati chayfetz b'alma. It's called a chayfetz. It's an object. So even though it's 10 tfachim high, now remember that 10 tfachim is the airspace for shtarabim. When you go out of shtarabim, 10 tfachim, on 10 and a half tfachim, or 10 and a bit tfachim, you're already outside shtarabim. We're going to see that on in this daf, a couple of interesting things, and let me just quickly give a bit of background here to make it easier to understand. If a chayfetz falls, an object you threw, and it landed in shtarabim, but not all of it, some of it was outside, in other words, it was taller than 10 tfachim. So if it doesn't, the whole object land in shtarabim, you haven't got a hanacha in shtarabim. And therefore, even that went 4 amas, like shtarabim, and you threw it to shayachid, sorry, you threw it through shtarabim and it lands, but a part of it is sticking out of shtarabim, so therefore you are mechayev. Another important point is, we have a concept we'll see in a second, and we've known about it before, we've spoken about it, called lavud. Lavud means that already anything that's just below 3 tfachim off the ground is considered that it's on the ground. So if something is 7 tfachim high, let's say 7.5 tfachim high, and it lands in shtarabim, when is it considered that it landed? When it enters just beneath 3 tfachim off the ground. So it landed. Even though if you look at it, it's still hovering in the air, halachically it's landed. So when it lands, it's landed in that just below 3 tfachim. If what sticks up above the 3 tfachim is 7 and a bit tfachim, at the moment that it landed, halachically landed, it hasn't all landed in shtarabim. Because you've got just under 3 tfachim of the airspace, and you've got that 7 and a bit tefach. It means the bit of the top tefach sticking out of shtarabim. That's another concept. Then we'll see that there are times when Chachamim don't interpret say that there's lavud. Lavud only applies when something is standing in the way it's meant to stand. So this kaveret, for example, is standing. It's a kaveret. You want to keep honey inside it. So you want to make it with the opening at the top. So the honey won't, the bees are going to make honey inside it. The honey won't drip out. If you turn it upside down, all the honey will drip out. So now we'll see later on in the Amud that if it lands in the shtarabim and it's upside down, in other words, the mouth, what they call the petach, the pay of it, is on the ground, so then we don't apply lavud. Then we wait for it to land properly on the ground, and then if it's less than 10 tfachim high, it will be a kli landing in shtarabim. So remember, lavud only works, we'll see it's according to Rashi at least, if it's landing the way it's meant to land. So when the kaveret lands with its face up so that honey won't drip out, we have lavud. Well, it's the other way around, we don't have lavud. Okay, so now let's carry on. So now we've got here that another important point is that Rashi tells us that something which is 10 tfachim high, but less than 6 tfachim wide, is a regular chayfetz. Not a reshut on its own. Now, this has got to do with math. I don't want to go into all the maths now, but if you've got a 4 by 4 tefach, the diagonal of 4 is round about... Actually, the angle of 4 is about 5.6. There's in the Gemara, you'll see there. And Rashi goes into a lot of detail. The diagonal. So if it's 4 by 4, then on the diagonal is just under 6. So you have to have the width at the widest spot of it to be at least 6 to know you've got a 4 by 4 area inside this round circle. If it's wider than 6, then it's a reshut on its own, and therefore you can't throw a reshut into a reshut. Like we saw with the idea we try to have in Daf Gimel there about if your hand was outside, could your hand become a karmelit? And then we said, no. You can't have a reshut being thrown in, you can't throw a reshut into shtarabim. Doesn't make sense. You have to throw a kli in a shtarabim. If this vessel is big enough that it's a reshut on its own, then the whole concept of throwing doesn't apply. We'll see later on from Rashi as well that we learn the idea of throwing things from the Mishkan. What things were thrown, what the Kohanim or the Levim threw one to the other. And they never threw a reshut. They never took one of these agalot, the wagons that they used with Shtayachid, and throw it. They would throw a needle or a pin or something one to the other. The same thing over here. If you throw a reshut, you aren't chayev. So that's what's going on over here. So Abaya says, Raka v'eret l'shravim gavur asra en rochav ha-shesh chayev, rochav ha-patush en rochav ha-chamesh patu. If it's 6 wide, it's already a separate reshut. And Rava says, no. Even if it isn't wide, 6 wide, which means that it could, at a diagonal, right, it could be less than 4 by 4 inside, means it wouldn't be a separate reshut, you still patur. Why? My timer says, so remember that the heart is 10 tfachim high. So he's saying, irrespective of lavud, when this lands in the rabbim, it's impossible that one of the straws sticking out at the top aren't sticking out slightly more than 10 tefachim. And therefore, look at Rashi, the last narrow lines of Rashi. E'efshar. Hoyel v'gova eshet, since it's 10 tefachim high, shlo yehei ba kromiyot min ashti. Shti v'erev, right? When you're weaving, or any type of weaving, if it's a straw, so one goes horizontal, one goes vertical. The vertical is the shti, and the horizontal is the erev. Right, so he says, ba kromiyot min ashti, shegovim michavrem shel erev, v'olin l'mahale miyud, it has to pop out over 10. Shehu avir makom tor, now go to the area of the makom tor. Since the whole kaveret did not land shrabim, there's no halachic hanachaya to make you chayv. That's the first case. Second case that Gemara brings up here is kafa al pia shiva umashu chayv. If you turn it upside down now, right? You put it with its mouth down. So if it is 7.5 tfachim high, you are chayv. Sorry, shiva mashu, 7 and a bit, you chayv. Shiv'a u'mechza, if it's 7.5 tfachim high, you are patur. Look at Rashi. Kafa pia v'zarka, a'en erachav ha'shash, we're talking about one which is not 6 wide now, even according to Abaya, to be a separate kli. If it's 7 and a bit, tall, im gavo shevu mashu, adayin chav, you still chayv, says Rashi. Wav, kol shechen pechutam, even if it's less than that. Ela afilu gavo shevu mashu. Dike le meymar, hoyel u'mechitzoter lemata. Since its walls are now facing downwards, right? The kaim and lachal Moshe is because halacha Moshe is Sinai. Damin and Lavud, which is the Lavud applies. Look at that gota bach there, Aleph, just to fit in the change over here. Says the kaim land, damin Lavud. Afilu achi chayev, you still chayev. Why? The chimatia pachot megimul samach lekarik. V'amar behen Lavud. V'havi enacha akati kule ba'avich rabim bechayev. So he says, if it is. Even though we've got Levud over here, it's 7 and a bit. It's in the airspace. You've got that 7 and a bit, right? You have to go just a bit beneath 3 to still be in Shtarabim. So when you landed just below 3, plus that 7 and a bit, so you're actually at 10, so it's still all in Shtarabim. That is why you chayev. However, aval gavo shevu mechzuk at Rashi, but if it's 7.5, vuadin. Right? He says when you're throwing it down and it's landing, so this way, if it's 7.5, so when it's just below 3, take like say 290 plus 7.5, so you're at 1040, you've got 40 parts of a tefach outside the shtarabim, so therefore it hasn't all landed shtarabim, therefore you're on chayv. Now says Rashi, "B'shelo kafa, when it isn't upside down, like the mamal lavud, right? Because the lo amin lavud ele b'mechitzot, v'amil tebein abay ben rabbi dabay nami mori dabayin anach akula b'shtarabim dabay." Okay, let's just do that for a second. We'll come. The next Rashi will make it a lot clearer. So that is the machloket there. So he says that if you turn it upside down and it landed, he says you chayev shubetzapatur. Rashi says no. Even 7.5, you chayev. Even it's still 7.5. Even though you got that 3 plus 7.5, you chayev. Why you chayev? How it didn't all land inside Shtarabim? It says, my time, the Gemara. Mechitzo letochana suri. It says, answer. It says, what was the purpose of the walls? Laniach bahen dvash. Velo lekofan klape mata. Hilchach en kantrat labud. The whole idea of this cover is that when the honey is made inside it, it's stored inside. If you turn it over now, the honey's not going to fall out. That's not what the cover is for. So therefore, we don't apply lavud. Lavud only applies when things are used in the proper way. If it's upside down, we ignore lavud. And now, even if it's 7.5 tefach high, we ignore lavud. So when it lands has to land on the ground proper, and only then or would you be chayv. Okay. Amar Ula. Now we've got another look. Amar Ula. Amud tish'a. Pshta Rabbi. Right? V'rabi mechatfin alav. So now we've got this amud in a Pshta Rabbi, which is 9 tefachim high. Now, we would think that this is actually like a carmelit, right? However, so what's going on over here? Right, look at Rashi there, Tish'a. It says there, dafke nakat. It's purposely chose 9. Dechaze liktufe. De'en lo gavo ve'lo namuch. It's the perfect height for somebody walking shtarabim to use to adjust something. Let's say we saw the other day, I think it was on Daf Dal or Daf Hey, We saw that this idea that we said mechatve and lafush, we have the difference between when a person's walking shnerabim and he stops to rest, then his hanacha is a proper hanacha, as opposed to lekatef. If he just wants to adjust his weight, then we don't consider him as having stopped. So if he walked 8 amas in shnerabim and he stopped for a second, but just lekatef and not lafush, we consider the full 8 amas if he walked more than, carried something more than 4 amas in a shtarabim. If on the other hand, after 4 amas he stopped to rest, and then he walked again, he never walked more than 4 amas in a shtarabim, even though midrabban is asur, but midoraita wouldn't be chayef, because you have to have akira and hanacha of more than 4 amas. And yeah, you went akira, you started walking, hanacha, you stopped walking, akira, you started walking, hanacha, you stopped walking. That is lafush, it's a proper stop. Le Katef, we said, wasn't a proper stop, just to adjust. So here the same idea is, this Amud is suitable in Shurabi people to adjust themselves by walking. All right? So now we would think that maybe it's not a Shurabi, and therefore, if, and we'll see now in a second, Zarak Venach Al Gabab, if you threw something and it landed on it, you might be Patur. Right, asu apatuk, it might be separate reshut. Nonetheless, what do we see over here? We see over here, Ula says you chayev. Look at Rashi very quickly. Zarak, mitchilat dal lesof dal. You threw something more than 4 amas in the shtarabi. And you chayev. Where's now? What? My time, why you chayev? Pachot mishlo says it like this. Give us a couple of important yesodot over here for Hilchos of Shabbos. Pachot mishlo shah midras dar se rabim. In the shtarabim, and things are less than 3 tvachim high, people walk over them. They ignore them, and therefore they batel to reshut harabim. Velo kitufei mechatfei. Right, sorry. Mishlo shah v'atisha. From 3 till 9. Lo midras dar se le. Velo kitufei mechatfei. People don't walk on them, and also don't use them for anything. Okay, so therefore they might not be considered potential. We'll see in a second. Tish'a vadai mechatfin ilavei. But for 9 tvachim high, people definitely use them. And therefore, if they use them, look at Rashi. Tish'a, right, dalet bechatfin ilavei. Says they see the Rashi starts the word dalet in 2 dots. The kira matchim mechatfin ilavei. Vechevan de tzarich l'ravim. Since they need it. Because people are carrying the shurabim, they need stuff to adjust their weights on, etc. Reshut harabim hu bein rachav bein katsar. Whether it's wide or narrow, it's not a separate reshut. It is part of the reshut harabim. So now, Rabbi Rav Yosef, Rabbi says to Yosef, and tell me, v'gumemai. Remember, we spoke the day we had the reshut, we had that tosefta. I think it was in on daf hey, I would bet. We had Arba Rishiyota in the Shabbat. Where was it? I remember it was on Daf Hay or Vav. We had a Tosefta. We said Arba Rishiyota in the Shabbat. We said Carmelit, Shtarabim, Shtayachid, and a Carmelit, and a Makom Petor. And we said there that Rishuta Yachid was either something which was 10 tfachim high and 4x4 wide, or a charitz. There was a hole in the ground, right, which was 10 tfachim high, a 10 tfachim deep, and an area of 4. So there was, we saw that it made no difference if it was a charitz in the ground, if it was a pole above the ground. So now, the simple question that Rabbi asked Rav Yosef, is you telling me that this amud in shtarabim, if it's 9 tfachim high, so then people are going to use it to polish the rabbi. What about the other way around? What about a hole in the ground? Right? I'm still looking. I can't find that. We'll find it. She says, what about a hole in the ground? Will a hole in the ground be the same din? Would you also be chayev? So he says to him, Amar lei v'nachal gabav chayev. Guma amar lei v'chein b'guma. So it's just like that in the Guma, same din. So that is what Rav Yosef says to Abaya. Rava says no. Rava Amar b'Guma lo. He says, no, in a Guma you are Michaev. So he says, ma taima. Why does Rava say that in a Guma, if it's in a hole in the ground, you patur? Even though it's 9 tfachim long. He says, tashmish alidei haddechak lo shmei tashmish. Important halakha over here, says Rava, remember, machloka Rava and Abaya, in 99% of the cases, like Rav, not like Abaya, except for those 3 cases I've spoken about it. says over here, he says, Rava says, no, you are not chayev. Totally different. Because tashmish adeh adchak, loshmei tashmish. If you're going to do something inconveniently, uncomfortably, not pleasantly, that's not called tashmish. If I want to put something down, I want to put it on a shelf. But I've got to go and koch into a hole in the ground. That's not called tashmish. Therefore, it's not called tashmish. And that use doesn't make the area into parush to rabbi. So he says to him, look at Rashi there, loshmei tashmish. Towards bottom of the Rashi there, Loshma Tashmish, Hilchach Lav Torah, Rabbim was not considered part of the needs of the Rabbim. Ela Karmeli too, it's a Karmeli, it's its own Rashut. Which means if you put something there, right, you threw something to that Karmeli, you'd be Patru, Asru, but Patru. So now, Eitiv Rav Adabar Matle Rava, Rav Adabar Matle brings a Kashya to Rava. Haita Kupa Tom Menachem Shurabim, he quotes it brightly, he says, if your box, you had a box, it's Shurabim. Gavo Asara Barochva Adan, it was 10 Tvachim high. And four tvachim wide, which we know is a Rishta Yachid. And now you've got a Rishta Yachid, big Rishta Yachid, like a Wendy house, let's say, parked off in the middle of a field. The halacha is, Ein metaltli lo mitocha Rishta Rabim, velo Mishta Rabim letocha. You can't carry from one Rishta Yachid, it's a separate Rishta. You've created Rishta Yachid inside Rishta Rabim. However, the writer carries on and says, Pachot miken metaltlin. If it's less than, look at Rashi, Pachot miken, whether it's less than 10 tvachim high or it's less than 4x4 wide, metal you can carry. Right? Now, why can you do that? Because it's not a Rishta Yachid. And yeah, the writer says, v'chein beguma, and so too with this dig out in the ground. So this is a Kashya to Rabbi. He's saying, look, from our writer here, if it's less than 9 tvachim, less than 10 tvachim tall, or less than 4 wide, it becomes not a Rishta Rabbi, and therefore, not a Rishta Yachid, and therefore you can carry from the one to the other, which means it's a Rishta Rabim. So your guma here is a Rishta Rabim. It's 9 tvachim deep. So why shouldn't I be chayva through into it? And we see, even though you're telling me that Tashmish, Aliyah Dachak, loves my Tashmish, here we see, halachically, the answer here was that this guma is exactly like this kupa, and therefore it should make no difference whatsoever. So Rabbi defends it. He says, no, he says, you got it all wrong. My lava seifa. The kasha here is, Rav Adah says to him, isn't that v'chein beguma gag on the sefer? The sefer was that if it's pachot miken metaltel, if it's less than you can metaltel, and likewise with the guma, if a guma is less than you can metaltel, meaning that it is Rishta Rabim, therefore our ditch is less than 10 tvachim deep, and therefore we should be able to be considered polish Rabim, and if you threw something in there, you'd be chai. So Rav says, no, lo areisha. That v'chein beguma is going on the reisha which said that if it's 10 meters, 10 tvachim high, and 4x4 wide, you can't carry from one to the other, so too a guma, if a guma is 10 deep and 4 wide, it's a Rishta Yachid. But it's got nothing to do with the guma that's less than 10 deep. We're not even discussing that, so therefore you can't say anything against it. The world tries again, Eitivei. If you have intentions to make an Eruv, right, you want an Eruv, the idea is that if you got 2,000 amas out of the town, you could put down some food, let's say some matzah, Erev Shabbos, and you corner your makom. If you bought your place, and from now you got another 2,000 amas that you can walk in on Shabbos. So you're going to put the food in a place where you can, eat, in theory, you can eat that food if you want it. Right? So the worst is like I did. Come in Shabbos, Rishta Rabbi. You're now in a public place, and you want to make that your shvut, that your makom. V'neach eruvov abor lemaale be'asarat tvachim. And you put your eruv, you don't want something else to come and eat it, so you found a little hole in the ground, which was less than 10 tvachim deep, and you put your food over there. Eruv. It says your eruv is an eruv, good eruv. If lemata mi'asarat tvachim, you put it less than 10 tvachim deep, in other words, deeper than 10 tvachim in the ground, ain eruvo eruv. Your eruv is not an eruv. Right? So what's the idea? Rashi says over here, very quickly, the first Rashi there, I'm skipping to the second line, the end of it. It says, you've got to have your place there where in theory you could eat your Eruv. If you want to come eat that food, you put there. If you wanted to eat it. Because you're showing that this, so to speak, is my house. I'm going to come here and eat my food in that place. So when you arrive there on Shabbos, you're going for a walk, you're going to get to that place, you should be able to eat your food. Peter Gorem the Hatam Shaykh Inish, because the fact the food is there, says this is a place for people. Even though when Shabbos came in, you and you at home in the town, when you left the borders of the town, 2,000 amas, your food is there. It's as if it's an area which is occupied by people.
So what's the heck? What's going on over here? Elam of a board you eat by Asara. If you're saying it's a boar, when the writer said over here that if you put it less than 10 tfachim deep, we talk about a boar that is 10 tfachim deep, that you put it halfway into the boar. Let's say it's a 15 tefach deep boar, but you can't get your hand 15 tefach, so your hand goes down about 8 tefach tfachim. You put your hand, you put the food there into it, like a little niche in the wall there of the whole 8 tfachim. Now, but the boar actually has got 10 tfachim, right? So it's ilema, right? That is 10 tfachim. Rashi says the itteb is 10 tfachim deep. Ulemala de dalai ve otve, ulemata de tate ve otve. And you could now decide. You could put it lower than 10 tfachim or higher than 10 tfachim. So, I don't understand. Mali lemala, mali lemata. What do I care where you put it? Hubi makom echad, veru makom acheru. Tachlis, if the bore is deeper than 10 tfachim, is rishta yachid. If it's rishta yachid, then you come in Shabbos tomorrow morning, you go for your walk. And you now want to eat your Eruv, you can't eat your Eruv because your Eruv is in Rishle Yachid. And you're standing outside the Eruv in Rishle Rabim, out on the top of the pit. And you aren't able to get that food out and eat it. We said a second ago, you've got to be able to eat it if you wanted to eat it, because that's the way you show that the place is populated, in theory. But tomorrow on Shabbos, it doesn't mean you put it above 9 or below 9. If you walk into my house on Shabbos, it's Rishle Yachid. Whether you walk in 2 steps or 10 steps or you go upstairs or downstairs, it doesn't matter. Once you're in the house, you're in the house. So this boar, it's 10 tfachim deep, it's Rishle Yachid. What do we care where you put it? So it can't be that type of boar. It allows the boar delayed by Asara. Uketani Eruvo Eruv. It must be a boar which is less than 10 tfachim high, 10 tfachim deep, right? Because otherwise, I just read that Rashi outside. Look at quickly, Rashi. El alav ha'ilam malim ashadiktani, but bor delayed by asara, says Rashi. It's a bor that hasn't got 10 tfachim deep. Im karka eito shel bor lematim asara. If the bottom of the pit is 10 tfachim deep, tave habor chalo esher v'havei shle yachid, eruv or eruv ko makom shunach sham. Then you, no matter where you put it, it wouldn't be a good eruv. Im karka eito shel bor lematim asara. If it's a less shallower bor, less than 10 tfachim deep, tave lechalo pachot b'asara, less than 10, eruv is a good eruv. It's not considered putting the karmelit. Alma, this is proof against Rava. Tashmish, the Rabim Chashivle. It's called Tashmish. Even though it might not be the most comfortable Tashmish, right? It's Tashmish. That's what the Gemara says. Lava board laid by Asra, Tani Ervairu. Alma, Tashmish, Aliadehat, Chach, Shmei Tashmish. It's a Kash against Rava. How can you tell me Rava? It's not called Tashmish. Yeah, we see the brightest is the good Eruv. So the other day we saw, when a question was asked to our buyer, he said, Zimne, he gave two answers. Sometimes he answered this way, sometimes he answered that way. The Gemara is the same thing as the other Rabbah. He says, the Zimne, Mishain Le, sometimes, this is how Rabbah answers. What does he say? Who, Mishnah Rabbi, Verbal Kabbalah? Really, this bright you quoted to me, which had said that he put it into Rishtayachid, not Shriyachid. It's really a Carmelit. I carry Le, Rishtarabim. If you say Rishtayachid, and why is it called Rishtarabim? Not Rishtarabim, because not Rishtayachid. So because not Rishtayachid, we call it Rishtarabim, it's really actually a Carmelit. They're both Carmelites. Says because bottom line is that this is works in either way. And sometimes he gave a separate answer, another answer. He said, "Who b'shtarabim v'aruv b'karmelit." He said, "No, he's the shrabim, and the boar is a Carmelit. And who's that like? That's like Rebbe." Damar called the Vashumi Shum Shvut, Lo Gazer Alaben Ashmashot. He said, what's going on over here? He says, Rebbe has Aloche. He says, like this, the whole concept of Shvut, Isud Rabbanans, don't apply Ben Ashmashot. Right? And therefore, when this whole din is going to apply, we'll see in a second. I'll rather explain in a second. But bottom line is, a Carmelit is a Shvut Isud Rabbanan. And if you got a Shuta Rabbim and a Carmelit, there's no Isur Torah Ben Ashmashot. And now, Gemara says like this, and Rabbi says to him, "But Lord, time dachuikem mitchanelech, that I'm actually trying to just fob you off." And look at Rashi there, "But Lord, dachuikem mitchanelech, and a dafke kaminach." This is the real reason I'm giving it to you. Look at Rashi there, "The losh may tashmit rabbin, not called tashmit rabbin." And how do I prove this to you that this boar is not tashmit rabbin? Did time we got a Mishnah? It was this little Mishnah that on Daf Kuf. So did not. You like a puddle of water. Shrabim malechet boar. And there's a path where the public walk through the shrakak. Now pay attention closely to the repetitious terms in this Mishnah. It starts off in Imayar rekakmai. There was a puddle of water. Shrabim and Shrabim mahalechet going through it. Hazorek letoch hedar amon chayev. You threw something into this puddle and it went 4 amas in the shut rabim yuchayev. Then the brightest or the Mishnah says, "Vekama hu rekuk maim." How deep is it? Rashi says, "Yeah, how deep is it?" Right, it's actually Rashi there on Daf Kuf. It says, "Kama omko the name of Akatush Darabim who velo nasa karmi." It's not called the karmi; it's still called the Darabim. How deep does it have to be? Right, he says, this is still the same Mishnah speaking. "Vekama hu rekak maim," and the Mishnah says, "Pachot miasarat tfachim," less than asara tfachim. Rashi there, "Sheina maim amokim 10." The water isn't 10 tfachim deep. Now the Mishnah says again, "Verakak ma'im," this puddle of water, "Shushter Rabbi Mahalechet Bo," where the Shushter Rabbi passes through it again with the same lashon, "Rakak ma'im Mahalechet Bo," it's mentioned twice. "Hazorek letocho," if you throw into it, "Darin Amaz Yuchayev." So now Rava says, "Bishlom Rakak Rakak Trez." You understand why the Mishnah uses Rakak Rakak, the word Rakak, twice? To tell us that both times, in summer and in winter, this thing would apply. But we need them both. Why? We said the Mishnah is speaking about summer months. And why would we say that it's considered shtarabim, even though it's a puddle of water? He says, because David in Shaili, Kurev and Afshai, people walk through water in summer to cool down. Now, if you run a marathon, you'll know they have these guys posing water on top of you to cool you down. It's very hot. Same idea, yeah, you walk in summer, very hot, in a long walk in a public area. You know, I might walk through a bit of a puddle to get a bit refreshed. But in winter, you'd say, no, I'm not going to walk through a muddy place. So therefore, we need it the one time. If we said this mission specifically speaking about the winter months and not the summer months, why? So the person's already so dirty. What does he care? He doesn't want to walk through a puddle. No, he never walked through a puddle in the summer months. Therefore, I must understand why the Mishnah to teach me that rakak both times, once in summer, once in winter. But in a hiluch, why did the Mishnah have to specifically use the word "v'shtarabim mahalechet bo"? And it's a place where Shtarabim walk through this puddle, right? Now Rashi is important. Rashi over here, Elahiluch. It's about 5 lines up before it gets wide. Elahiluch trezin elamali litni. Let the bright. The Mishnah say at the end, "V'seifah v'rakak ma'im Shtarabim hazorek letocho." And this rakak ma'im in Shtarabim, you throw something at you chayev. Why did it say Shtarabim bo mahalechet bo? What did that come and teach me for? So Rashi says, "Debainan sheyet tzorech l'rabim lamali." Why do you have to be told there that it's got tzorech l'rabim? How many Rashi would have read it from the beginning that the mahalechet bo, it's really walking through that the public go through this place. El hachi hadar tanei dafka. Says the Tana specifically used that word mahalechet bo twice. Shehiluch l'rabim. They tell us that puddle is in an area people walk through. Even though it's not comfortable, it's inconvenient, but nonetheless they walk through. Hu shmei hiluch. It's called hiluch. But if you need it for use, lo chashi rishtarabim. It's not kosher rabim. So Rabbi wants to prove from here that hiluch is shmei hiluch, but tashmish, right? Elalav shma mina hiluch adei dachak shmei hiluch. Tashmish ledachak lo shmei tashmish shma mina. The Gemara concludes with this. That's what Rava says. That your case there on previous Amud, where you had to tell me that if you hit something non-tfachim underground, that's not called shimush, because it's shimush adai dachak. Only hiluch, walking bedachak, we can understand. But shimush, not shimush adai shurabim, when it's a convenient place. And therefore, if you threw something from beginning to the end and landed into this pit, it's not called shurabim anymore, it's a karmelit. Now, a couple of other halachas on the way. Amar Rav Yehuda, high zero zid akani rama vizak fei rama vizik fei lo mechayv ad de akar le. What's going on here? You've got this zero, Rashi says here, zirza de kane. If you've got, he says here, second wide lines of Rashi, chavida shel kane marukim. You've got this big bunch of reeds, like you often see on wheat fields where they've cut the wheat, they put them into bales, like a bale of wheat, which is very tall. If you're rolling it over, you're never really lifting it up off the ground, you're rolling it, and it goes up high, and then it bounces down, right? So look, Rashi, Rama v'zakfei, holicho amot harbe, b'shtar rabim, ke'inyan hazeh, shelo naklu kulo minak, never going to lift up on the ground once. And a zakfo, b'shtar, you push it upright, and you pushed it down, rolled down. V'chazah, then again, v'zakfo, you held it upright, v'yishlicho, and it rolled over. So imagine it's like quite tall, not square, it's rectangle, and you lift it up on the high side, it falls over. You stand up again, falls over. And this way, it rolls itself over till the end that we are told over here. Rabbi Yehuda says, this zirza, right, that you do this, lo mechayev, you aren't chayev, ad da akarle, until you actually lift it up once off the ground, and you do proper akira. That was halacha. Then Amar Mar. Now we go back to halacha which we learned the other day. We're on Daf Vav. Where the Adam omer askupa v'notel v'rabal v'telo v'tome ani v'notelo. Right? We had a case over there where we had three rishot. You had a guy standing in the doorpost, or just on the porch of the off the house, and there's a barabai standing in the house, and a knee standing in the on the street. The barabai can pass to the man on the askupa. The ani can pass to the askupa. They can each pass to each other, but as long as we said the barabai doesn't pass to the man of the askupa and he passes to the ani, because then we're on the zalzel the rishot of Shabbos. It's not the right thing to do. So that's what we just quoted that Gemara. Where's the high askupa my? What is this askupa we're speaking about? When we said this askupa, is the askupa a shtarabim? Is it a shtayachid? What is it? Ilam askupa shtarabim. If you say it's shtarabim, then how can it be? No, tell me about a bite. How can he take from the balabait? How mafik b'shtayachid shtarabim? Because it means he's taking from the balabait. If it's a reshut, if the askupa, right? Is a shtarabim. The balabait inside his house is kir shtayachid. It means the balabait is passing to him outside from shtarabim to shtayachid. So it can't be. The ela askupa shtayachid. If we say the askupa is a shtayachid, then we've got the other problem. No, tell me na ni. How come I am shtayachid b'shtarabim shtayachid? How can he take it from the poor guy? The poor guy standing outside the askupa and passes to him. If this is a shtayachid, then it means the poor guy standing shtarabim and he's passing from shtarabim to shtayachid. We can't get either. Ela, the Gemara concludes, iskupat karmelit. Must be a karmelit. Notel v'noten lechatchila. And therefore, he says you can take from one to the other. The Gemara says, sof, isura, mi'aita. Right? If you tell me it's a karmelit, so it doesn't make sense. You can't on Shabbos, it's isur drabanan. It's isur drabanan from a karmelit to a rishtayach rishtarabi. The Gemara says, you're right. Ela iskupa makom petor ba'almuhu. It's a makom petor. Right, what does it mean, makom petor? Kagon delayed by dal al dalet. Hasn't got a surface area of 4x4, and therefore, even though it's 3 tachim, however the case is, it's not a rabim, not a shtayachid, not a karmid, it's a makom petor. And the Gemara says, v'chihad d'chiat r'avdimi, amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, makom sh'ayim mutar al dalet tfachim, mutar li b'nei shtayachid, v'nei shtarabim, l'katef alav. They can each use that area to stop and to adjust themselves on. Ubiovad shlo yachlifu. It says, so long as they don't lo yachlifu. Now, what does lo yachlifu mean? What does it mean lo yachlifu? Rashi the body. Yeah, we saw this the other day as well. V'achinam ekatanim. You know this already. Rashi says, Leel. Ubiovad shlo yitom in ha'ani v'yitena balabai. Look at the guy there isn't standing on this askupa, which is the makom tor, and he's using it like a halfway measure. He's taking from the balabai in shlo yachid and passing to the ani in the reshut harabim that he can't do. Amar Mar. If they do it, they are patur. So now the girl gets very excited. If they do it, they're patur. This is now, we can use this here as proof to disprove what Rava said. Because we've got a halacha which Rava said in Masechet Eruvin. Amar Rava, hamavir chefetz mitchilat dalet lesof dalet. If you threw something, you moved something in shtarabim, more than four, Rab Shrabim, in Shrabim, Afi Sheviru Derech. Even though you did it through another Derech, alright, Av Derech Alav, right? So look at Aviyah. Afi Sheviru Derech Alav, look at Rashi. Shegbiho Lamala Mieser, Delo Shalit Be'avir Shrabim, Vahave Makompator, you threw it with four Amas in Shrabim, but it went out of the Shrabim into the Shutar, Makompator, landed back in Shrabim. Rava says, you chayev. Right now, here we got a case of here. We just said if you go from a shtarabim to the iskupa, miskupa to the reshut ayachid, right? Even though it's asur, you patur. So isn't this a tiyuf to the Rav? The Gemara says no. Hatam lo nach, hacha nach. You can't compare it at all because in Rav's case, right? Look at that lo nach makom petor. It never rested. What happened over there was you threw it in shtarabim, there was the akira, and it landed in shtarabim. There was no stopping in the middle. Where here, in our case, hachenach, here, the guy was standing there, skupa, the guy inside the house passed to him, rested. He did a new akira to the guy outside, and therefore there was akira and hanacha, two different circumstances. We can't use this against Rav at all.